This morning, I thought I would talk with you for a few minutes about the love of God and look at some of the passages in the Bible that describe various aspects about the love of God. God, who created the universe, he loves you and he loves me personally. He does not just love people generally, but he loves us as individuals. God cares about our lives and he wants to be part of our lives. God's love is far beyond what we are capable of. Among Christians who are being changed by God, we can see an imperfect picture of his love. The Bible is a collection of the words God gave to people so that we could know him better. And one of these things that we can know better is about God's love for each one of us. First of all, the first passage I'm going to look at concerns God's love as perfect and as an example for us. This is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, where the Apostle Paul says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not exist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." This is a description of love in general, and of course it's a description of God's love for us. We cannot love perfectly like God does because we are imperfect. God is the only one who can provide perfect love. We cannot expect perfect love from ourselves or any other person or any other human being. But when we experience God's perfect love, it helps us to love others the way God loves us. All the virtues are bound up with love. All the instructions of the Mosaic Law can be summarized in the command to love one's neighbor, as is described in Romans chapter 13, 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The second passage we'll look at concerning God's love is concerns when we fully experience God's love, we have nothing to fear. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the Apostle John says, starting with verse 15 of 1 John chapter 4, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So when we fully understand the depths of God's love, we no longer need to be afraid. Love and fear are incompatible as oil and water. So because God loves us, we respond to his love for us by loving God in return. A third passage about God's love concerns nothing can separate us from God's love. And this is found in Romans 8, 35 through 39. This is part of the passage that Chris just read for us a few minutes ago. Here in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, it says, the Apostle Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is more powerful than anything else in the universe, and when we accept Jesus and have a personal relationship with God, when we maintain this personal relationship with God, we are secure in God's love forever. And there is nothing in this world that is powerful enough to separate us from God's love, according to the Apostle Paul here. Even when I may temporarily feel far from God, God still loves me. From our viewpoint, life seems very fragile, but God's love and power overcome death. Even when things seem hopeless, we know that God's love for us is still there. We are not immune from suffering, but we know that God's love for us is always present. The worst of problems in this world cannot break the bond of love between God and his faithful children. The fourth aspect to God's love concerns God's love. God's love is so great we cannot fully understand it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3, starting with verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It is like the Apostle Paul is pointing out here that maybe what Apostle Paul is partially thinking about is about the universe, and stating that the love of God is as vast as the universe, because he's saying that it had to contemplate its breadth and length and height and depth. God's love is vast and it surpasses knowledge. We being rooted in God's love provides a stability and security from which each of us can grow. Paul wants us to attempt to comprehend the vastness of God's love for each one of us, an attempt to comprehend God's vast plans for us and his plan that he has implemented for our salvation. God's love surpasses knowledge. It surpasses our understanding and penetrates into our lives. Paul says God's love is associated with being filled with all the fullness of God. A fifth passage which describes God's love is, and in this passage, God's love is described as a shield that surrounds us. Let's go back over into the Old Testament, and it'll be Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12, where the author of this psalm says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. God's love is a powerful force protecting us and comforting us. As it describes here, it's described as God's favor. Being in God's love is a position of not just joy, as it describes in verse 11, but also safety, as it describes also in verse 11. When we turn to God, he surrounds us like a shield. Those who take refuge in God can rejoice and have joy. God covers us with favor and surrounds those who trust in him. A sixth verse about God's love relates to God will not let us down because his love never fails. This is also found in Psalms, Psalm 36, verses 5 through 7, where the author of this psalm says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O Lord, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Although people may let each other down, God can be trusted to keep his promises. God never fails us. God is totally trustworthy. We do not need to hold back in our relationship that we have with God. We see many qualities of God described here: righteousness, faithfulness, perfect judgment, and he saves those who trust in him. And in verse 7, God's steadfast love in which we can shelter and take refuge. A seventh passage that concerns God's love is back in the New Testament again, where in this passage God calls us his beloved child. In 1 John 3, verse 1, the Apostle John says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." God our Father calls us his children. We are not only a friend of God, but also his children. This is a demonstration of how much God loves us. We have been adopted into his family. A ninth passage concerning the love of God involves God's loves us so much that he sacrificed his son for us. This is one that we often contemplate. In fact, we contemplate it every Sunday. And, of course, one of the best passages for this would be John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God sacrificed his son because of his deep love for us. It says it here right in John 3:16. Love is central to the very nature of God. God comes to the whole world with love. Love is not passive. And here God sacrificed his son for each one of us. Another passage about God's love, it relates to God loves us so much that he sacrifices himself even though we do not deserve it. This is found in Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Even when we mess up, God still loves us. Christ gave his life for us even though we do not deserve it. God's love is far greater in its magnitude and dependability than even the greatest of human love. In the days of Noah, God sent the flood on the ungodly to destroy them. But then God's great love has now sent Jesus to save the ungodly. And that comes from the passage 2 Peter 2, verse 5. But I don't think we'll turn over there. Another passage about the love of God is concerns, "I can never deserve the love God offers me," which we all are aware of. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5, the Apostle Paul says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So God saw the mess we were in and reached down to pull us out of it, not because we deserved rescue, but because God loved us enough to act on our behalf. Two characteristics of God were at work in his move to rescue each one of us. First of all, mercy, and second of all, love. Mercy shows that God was kind in acting on our behalf. He did not have to do it. He did it because he loved us. and there was no entitlement that required it. Such mercy was a characteristic of Jesus' ministry, and we can think of so many examples of that. I have a list of verses here. I think we'll not do that. We're all familiar with the many characteristics of Jesus' ministry that showed how he exhibited love. Love was also a motivation for God's actions here. Another verse that relates to God's love concerns God's love also allows us to change and grow into the person he wants us to be. This is found in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. God's love wants us to improve and grow and change for the better. He sent Jesus to die for our sins so that this would be possible. When we receive God's forgiveness and accept God's help, we can work toward a positive and lasting change. This is another way God acts as a loving parent toward us. Parents want to see their children grow up and learn and make excellent choices in life on their own. Good parents love their children and set limits and give them guidance and walk beside them to assist them. God does exactly the same thing for us, just like a parent. He wants to see us improve and get better and improve in every area and become more like him. Another aspect of God's love is God gives us the Holy Spirit because he wants us to be filled with his love. In Romans 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God wants us to be with him all the time. That is how much he loves us. God wants to be present in every moment of our lives. God gives us the Holy Spirit. He is with us through both the good times and the bad times. We can choose to ignore the influence of God, but the Holy Spirit, if we allow it to, will show us God's love and help us to follow God. Another aspect of God's love is found in the Old Testament again. It's God disciplines us to help us learn because he loves us. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. People often associate discipline with punishment. This passage in Proverbs shows us that God's discipline is more about training and teaching. That is why Jesus' followers were called disciples. That is, they're people who follow a teacher, and God and Jesus are our teacher. When we follow Jesus, we become his disciples. In the process of learning from Jesus, some lessons will be hard or even feel like punishment, but God is trying to teach us and teach me. Our choices have consequences, and God usually allows us to experience those consequences. Facing hard things and overcoming them is a way to learn. We must not let hardships drag us down or isolate us from God and others. Instead, we turn to God for help and discover what he is trying to teach us. Another aspect of God's love is God cares when we are suffering because he loves us. Over in Psalm chapter 31, verse 7, Psalm 31, verse 7, the author of this psalm says, I rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. When things are hard, it's easy to feel distant from God, but God cares. He loves us. He cares about our troubles and hardships. God cares about our suffering. He cares because he loves us. Even when things seem hopeless, we can hope in God. God does not promise he will fix our problems immediately, We will experience pain and suffering, but God promises that one day all those who follow him will spend eternity in his presence, where suffering and sorrow will be gone forever. God is always there to comfort us with his unfailing love as we bring our struggles to him. Another aspect of God's love is even when things seem hopeless, we can hope in God because he loves us. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 20 through 23, the author there says, "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." When we experience difficult times or observe suffering in the world, we might be tempted to think God dislikes us, but God created a beautiful and perfect world, but we humans have brought imperfection and sin into it. God does not like it when people suffer. God will one day make things right again because of his love and compassion. Another aspect of God's love is that Jesus' love is an example of what it means to sacrifice and serve others. In John chapter 13, verse 34, the Apostle John says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Jesus demonstrated his love through his miracles and teaching and his service, and we are to emulate Jesus, just like Jesus loved others, and just like Jesus helped others, and just like Jesus provided service, we are to emulate Jesus and follow his example. Another aspect of God's love is that God is love, so our love for others points others to God. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, the Apostle John says, "In this the love of," this is 1 John 4, 9 through 12, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." God is love, so our love for others points them to God. When we love each other, it gives people a glimpse of God because God is love. It can be difficult to understand God, but we can be an example of God's love to others. And finally, one final aspect of God's love is because God loves us so much, we should always desire to obey him. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we have a list of the fruit of the Spirit, which all of us are familiar with. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Because God loves us so much, we should always desire to obey him. God's love should not stop with him loving us. We should respond by obeying him. We should exhibit the fruits of the Spirit because we are grateful and responding to God's love for us, as described here in Galatians chapter 5. So those are some aspects of God's love. There are many different aspects that we see in many different passages throughout the Scripture. It's all tied up with so many different things that we sometimes maybe don't relate to each other. And so if there's anyone who would like to bring something before the congregation or anything of that nature, please do so as we come forward as we stand and sing this closing song.